great plays. This afternoon, the Great Plays series presents The Second Mrs. Tanqueray by Sir Arthur Wing Pinero, a drama guide giving important factual and background material relating to each of the 28 great plays on this series, is available as a listener's aid at the cost price of 25 cents, coin or money order to be sent in care of Great Plays, Columbia University Press, New York City. Now the play. The Second Mrs. Tanqueray, adapted for radio by Harry McFadden, with Florence Malone in the title role of Paula Tanqueray. Act One, Aubrey Tanqueray's bachelor chambers in the Albany, London, England. A richly decorated room, elegantly and luxuriously furnished. A circular table is laid for a dinner for four persons, which has now reached the stage of dessert and coffee. Aubrey Tanqueray, Frank Misquith, and Dr. Gordon Jane are seated at the dinner table. Morse, Aubrey's servant, places a little cabinet of cigars on the table.
That will be all, Morse.
Yes, sir.
Aubrey, it's a pleasant yet dreadful fact to contemplate. But it's nearly 15 years since I first dined with you. You lodged in Piccadilly in those days over a hat shop. Jane, I met you at that dinner in Cayley Drummore, remember?
Yes, yes. What a pity it is that Cayley isn't here tonight to complete our group.
Confound the old gossip. His empty chair's been staring us in the face all through dinner. I ought to have told Morse to take it away.
Oddly sending no excuse.
I'll walk round to his lodgings later on and ask after him.
I'll go with you.
So will I.
I particularly wished Cayley Drummore to be one of us tonight. You know, you two fellows and Cayley are my closest and best friends. And I wanted to see the three of you around this table. You can't guess the reason.
You desired to give us a most excellent dinner.
Obviously.
Well, nearly nine. Cayley won't turn up now.
Hardly.
Then you two shall hear it. Doctor, Frank, this is the last time we are to meet in these rooms.
The last time?
You're going to leave the Albany?
Yes. You've heard me speak of a house I built in the country years ago, haven't you?
In Surrey.
Well, when my wife died, I cleared out of that house and let it. Well, I'm thinking of trying the place again.
But you'll go raving mad if you ever find yourself down there alone.
But I shan't be alone. That's what I wanted to tell you. I'm going to be married.
Going to be married?
Married?
Yes, tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Oh, you take my breath away. My dear fellow, of course, I congratulate you.
So do I, heartily.
Thanks. Look here, I dare say you two old friends think this treatment very strange, so I want you to understand me. You know, a marriage often cools friendship.
Oh, no, yeah, no.
Believe me, in 9 cases out of 10, a man's marriage serves for him more close ties than it forms.
Well, my dear Aubrey, I honestly hope that...
I know what you're going to say, Frank. I hope so, too. In the meantime, let's face dangers. My marriage isn't the conventional sort of marriage likely to satisfy society. Now, Cayley is a bachelor, but you two men have wives. Well, your wives may not like the lady I'm going to marry.
Aubrey, forgive me for suggesting that the lady you're going to marry may not like our wives.
Quite so. Then I must go the way my wife goes.
Come, come. Pray don't let us anticipate that either side will be called upon to make such a sacrifice.
Yes, yes, let us anticipate it. And let us make up our minds to have no slow bleeding to death of our friendship. We'll end a pleasant chapter here tonight, and after tonight, start afresh.
But do I understand we're to ask nothing? Not even the lady's name, Aubrey?
The lady, my dear Frank, belongs to the next chapter. And in that, her name is Mrs. Aubrey Tanqueray.
Mr. Cayley Drummore.
Oh, yes, yes, I know I'm in disgrace. Nobody realizes that more thoroughly than I do. Where's my host?
Here, Cayley.
But don't speak to me till I've tendered my explanation. A harsh word from anybody now would unman me.
What's the matter, old boy?
You know George Orrid?
Yes,
I've met him.
Well, he's a thing of the past.
He's not dead.
Certainly. In the worst sense, he's married Mabel Harvey.
What?
True. This morning.
I'm very sorry.
Pardon my ignorance, sir. Who was Mabel Harvey?
Miss Harvey, Lady Orrid, as she now is, was a lady who would have been described as, to do her justice, she's a type of a class which is immortal. Flaxen-haired, 25, beautiful, clever, anybody's, in less gentle society, I should say, everybody's property. That doctor was Miss Harvey, who is the new Lady Orrid. Just like the picture?
Very good, Cayley. Bravo.
You'd scarcely believe it, Jane, but none of us really knows anything about this lady. Our gay young friend here, I suspect, least of all.
Aubrey, I applaud your chivalry.
And now perhaps you'll let me finish a couple of letters. Ring for what you want, like good fellows. And Frank, tell Cayley the news.
Close the door, Cayley.
Sure. Cayley, marriages are in the air tonight.
Are they? Discover the bacillus, Doctor, and destroy it.
I mean among your friends.
Whose marriage?
Aubrey's.
Is this a joke?
No.
Married? To whom?
He doesn't tell us.
We three were asked here tonight to receive the announcement. Well, Cayley, what do you think of it?
He wraps the lady in mystery?
Most modestly.
Aubrey is not a very young man.
43.
A dangerous age.
I say, when you two fellows go home, do you mind leaving me behind here?
Not at all.
By all means.
Deuce take it. The man's second marriage mustn't be another mistake.
You knew him in his short married life, Cayley. Terribly unsatisfactory, wasn't it?
Well... Oh, I say, did I quite close that door?
Yes.
He married a Miss Harriet. It was 20 years ago. Ooh, a lovely creature. One of your cold sort, you know. All marble arms and black velvet. He loved her to distraction, as they say. Married her and took her away.
Abroad, you mean?
Yes. After a while, they returned, and then I saw how woefully Aubrey had miscalculated results.
Miscalculated?
He'd written, poor wretch, that in the early days of marriage she'd thaw. And she didn't. However, in time a child came. A daughter.
Didn't that make sense?
Not a bit of it. Made matters worse. The little brat was placed in a convent. First in France and then in Ireland. Not long afterwards, the mother died.
The child is living, we know.
Yes. Miss Eileen Tanqueray, a young woman of 19 now, is in the Loreto convent at Armagh.
1,000 apologies, old friend.
Oh, we're talking about you, my dear Aubrey.
Well, Cayley, are you surprised at the news?
I haven't been so surprised for 20 years.
And you're not angry with me?
Angry? My dear fellow, you pique my curiosity. You give zest to my existence.
Well, let's talk about something else.
Not tonight, Aubrey. It's getting late. 10:15.
Ah, my dear Frank.
I go up to Scotland tomorrow, and there are some little matters...
Well, I'm off too, Aubrey.
Well, Moore's hats and coats. I shall write to you all next week from Genoa or Florence. Now, Doctor... Frank, remember my love to Mrs. Misquith and to Mrs. James.
Yes, oh, yes, yes, all right. Yes. Cayley, I meet you at dinner on Sunday.
Yes, the stretching.
Yes, good night, Cayley.
Good night.
Good night, Aubrey.
Good night, buddy boy. Well, Cayley?
Well, Aubrey?
You're not going, old chap?
No, not just yet.
Cayley, I never thought I should feel shy with you.
Why do you?
Never mind.
No, I can quite understand a man wishing to be married in the dark, as it were.
You can?
In your place, I should very likely adopt the same course.
You think so?
And if I intended marrying a lady not prominently in society, as I presume you do...
Well?
I'm not sure that I should tender her for preliminary dissection at afternoon tea tables.
No? I must seem a brute to you, Cayley, but there are some acts which are hard to explain, hard to defend.
Defend?
Some acts which one must trust to time to put right.
Well, I suppose I'd better be going.
Oh, no, wait, Cayley. Confound you and your old friendship. Put your coat down. Cayley, the lady I'm going to marry is the lady who's known as Mrs. Jarman.
Mrs. Jarman? Are you serious?
Come, we'll be playing with each other. You know Mrs. Jarman.
I first met her at, what's it matter?
Yes, everything. Come.
Well, I met her at Homburg 2-3 seasons ago.
Not as Mrs. Jarman?
No.
She was then...
Mrs. Dartrey.
Yes. She has also seen you in London, she says.
Please,
Aubrey. I insist.
Well, sometime last year, I was asked by a man to sup at his house one night after the theatre.
Mr. Selwyn Ethurst, a bachelor.
Yes.
The lady you had known as Mrs. Dartrey was there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something of a yachting cruise in the Mediterranean, too, is there not?
I joined Peter Jarman's yacht at Marseille in the spring, a month before he died.
Mrs. Jarman was on board?
Yes, she was a kind hostess.
You have told your story.
With your assistance, Aubrey.
I put you to the pain of telling it to show you that this is not the case of a blind man entrapped by an artful woman. Let me add that Mrs. Jarman has no legal right to that name, that she is simply Miss Ray. Miss Paula Ray.
My dear Aubrey, I assure you I consider Mrs. Miss Jarman... Mrs. Miss Ray delightful. But I confess there's a form of chivalry which I gravely distrust, especially in men of our age.
Thanks. I've heard you say that from 40 to 50, a man is at heart either a stoic or a satyr.
Oh, warm
well,
right now.
I'm neither. I have a temperate, honorable affection for Mrs. Jarman. And in a few years, Cayley, if you've not quite forsaken me, I'll prove to you that it's possible to build a life of happiness on a miserable foundation.
Do prove it, Aubrey.
Beg pardon, sir.
What is it, Moss?
May I speak to you, sir?
Pardon me, Cayley.
Certainly.
Yes, Moss?
Mrs. Jarman, sir.
Mrs. Jarman? You mean she's at the lodge in her carriage?
No, sir. Here. There's a nice fire in your room, sir. Shall I show her in there, sir?
Yes, do.
Well, 10:45. Horrible. Must get to bed. Up late every night this week. Well, good night, Aubrey. I feel I've been deuced serious. Quite out of keeping with myself, eh? Hope you'll overlook it.
Ah, Cayley.
Good night. No, don't bother. I'll let myself out. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Cayley. Paula.
Aubrey, dearest.
Why have you come here?
Angry?
Yes. No. But it's 11 o'clock.
I know.
What on earth will Morse think?
Oh, do you trouble yourself about what servants think?
Of course.
Goose. They're only machines made to wait upon people. Oh, a snug little dinner, eh?
3 men.
Men?
Men.
Good. So, I'm hungry.
Let me get you something.
Oh, no. This fruit will do. Oh, it's beautiful. I love fruit when it's expensive. I haven't dined, Aubrey, dear.
Ah, my poor girl. Why?
I forgot to order any dinner. And my cook, who's always loathed me, thought he'd pay me out before he departed.
Beast.
But I didn't really care. And as there was nothing to eat, I sat in my best frock with my toes on the dining room fender and dreamed of such a lovely dinner party.
Ah, dear lonely woman.
It was perfect. I saw you at the end of a very long table opposite me. We were host and hostess, Aubrey. And we'd been married about 5 years.
5 years?
Mm-hmm. And on each side of us was the nicest set imaginable. You know, the sort of men and women who can't be imitated.
Yes. Eat some more fruit, my dear.
Thanks. Oh, but I haven't told you the best part of my dream.
Tell me.
Well, although we had been married only such a few years, I seemed to know by the look on their faces that none of our guests had ever heard anything peculiar about their fascinating hostess.
That's just how it will be, Paula. The world moves so quickly. That's just how it will be.
I wonder. Well, that was my dream, Aubrey, but the fire went out while I was dozing, and I woke up with a fit of the shivers. The result of it all was that I ran upstairs and scribbled you a letter.
My dear.
Yes. Yes, this is it. I've given you an account of myself. Furnished you with a list of my adventures. Most of it you're acquainted with. I have told you a good deal, haven't I?
Paula.
And what I haven't told you, I dare say you've heard from others, but in case they've omitted anything, the dear, it's all here.
Oh, in heaven's name, why must you talk like this tonight?
It may save discussion by and by. Here's the letter.
No, dear.
Oh,
no,
take
no.
it, do. Please, take it. Read it through after I've gone, and then if you feel that you oughtn't to marry me tomorrow, send a messenger to Pond Street any time before 11 telling me that you're afraid, and I'll take the blow.
Why, what do you think I am? Shall I burn it, dear? Let me.
Well, I suppose there isn't anything new in it that you don't know, is there? Burn it if you like.
There. That's the end of it.
Oh.
What is the matter, my dear?
Oh, nothing. I'm just cold.
What is the matter, dear?
Aubrey, you don't know what it cost me to offer to release you. I do so want to be married.
But you never imagined that I'd back out?
Possibly not. And yet I did think of what I'd do if you had preferred to behave like the rest.
What would you have done if we parted?
killed myself.
Ah, Paula, dear.
It's true. I feel certain I should make away with myself if anything serious ever happened to me again.
But now, life will be different to you, won't it? Quite different. Eh, dear?
Oh, yes. Now. Only mind, Aubrey, you keep me always happy.
I will try to, dearest.
Oh, look at the time. What will my coachman say? I must run. Dearest, good night. Until tomorrow.
Good night, my darling.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Act Two, a few months later. A sunny afternoon in early spring. It's the morning room in Aubrey Tanqueray's country house, Hyacombe, near Willowmere, Surrey. Aline, Paula's stepdaughter, has come to live with them. A small table is tastefully laid, and Aubrey and Paula are seated at breakfast. Aubrey is silently reading his letters.
Exactly 6 minutes.
6 minutes?
6 minutes, Aubrey, dear, since you made your last remark.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I was reading my letters. Have you seen Aline this morning?
Your last observation was about Aline.
Dearest, what shall I talk about?
Your daughter breakfasted 2 hours ago, Morgan tells me, and then went out walking with her dog.
She wrapped up warmly, I hope. This sunshine is deceptive.
I ran about the lawn last night after dinner and sat in shoes. Were you anxious about me?
Certainly.
Really?
You make me wretchedly anxious, Paula, dear. Your delight in doing incautious things. You're incurable.
Oh, what a beast I am. Sorry. Oh, is this a letter from Cayley?
Yes, he's staying very near here with Mrs...
Ah, yes. Yes, with the lady whose chimneys we have the honor of contemplating from our windows.
With Mrs. Cortellian, yes.
Mrs. Cortellian. The woman who might have set the example of calling on me when we first threw our roots into this deadly soil. Mrs. Cortellian.
Ah, my dear girl.
I know she's an old acquaintance of yours and the first Mrs. Tanqueray. And she joins the rest of them in slapping the second Mrs. Tanqueray in the face. However, I have my revenge. She's 46. I wish nothing worse to any woman.
Well, she's going to town, Cayley says in his letter, and his visit's at an end. He's coming over this morning to call on you, dear. Shall we ask him to transfer himself over here to us? Do say yes.
Yes.
Good old Cayley.
He'll amuse you.
And you, too. He talks London. You know you like that.
London. London or heaven, which is farther from me?
Paula.
Oh, I'm so bored, Aubrey.
Sweet, what can I do for you?
I suppose nothing. You have done all you can.
What do you mean?
You married me.
What is this letter on the desk here? You've been writing this morning before breakfast?
Hmm? Oh, that letter.
To Lady Orrid, I see. Why?
Why not? Mabel's an old friend of mine.
Are you corresponding?
Well, I heard from her yesterday. They just returned from the Riviera. She seems happy.
That's good news.
Oh, why are you always so cutting about Mabel? Everything's altered. She is Lady Orrid. She's married to George now. What's the matter with her? You drive me mad sometimes with the tones you take about things. Good heavens, if it comes to that, George Orrid's wife isn't a bit worse than yours. I suppose I needn't have made that observation.
No, there was scarcely a necessity.
I'm sorry.
All right, dear.
Well, I'd better tell you what I've written. I meant to do a rehearsal. I've asked the Orrids to come and stay with us. Oh, I've no patience with you. You'll kill me with this life. What is my existence Sunday to Saturday? In the morning, the drive down to the village to give my orders to the tradespeople. At lunch, you and Aline. In the afternoon, a novel. Dinner, you and Aline. And then a game of bridge. Then a yawn from me, another from you, a sigh from Aline. Three figures suddenly rise. Good night, good night, good night. God bless you.
Yes, yes, Paul, I know. That's what it is now, but by and by, if people begin to come round us...
Do you believe these people will ever come round us? Your former crony, Mrs. Cortellian, or the grim old vicar, or the Golems? Oh, I know better. And so we shall go on here, year in and year out.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Aline.
Oh, good morning, Paula.
Good morning, Aline. We've been breakfasting at this side of the house to get the sun.
Aline, dear, Paula's a little depressed. She complains that she has no companion.
Why, I'm with Paula nearly all day, Papa. I'll offer to go to the village with her this morning, shall I?
Thank you, my dear. Do.
Well, when I've looked after Rover, I'll come back to her.
Well, have you and Aline had your little confidence?
Confidence?
Do you think I couldn't feel it?
Aline is coming back in a few minutes to be with you. Paula, Paula, dear, is this how you keep your promise?
I can't keep my promise. I'm jealous. I see you looking at her, watching her. Your voice drops when you speak to her. Oh, I know how fond you are of that girl, Aubrey.
Well, what would you have? I've no other home for her. She's my daughter.
She's your saint. Saint Aline.
Oh, you don't realize what you're saying, Paula.
Oh, if Aline only cared for me a little, it'd be so different. I shouldn't be jealous then. Why doesn't she care for me?
She will in time. Have patience, Paula. Everything will come right.
Yes. Yes, if you help me.
In the meantime, you will tear up your letter to Lady Arid, won't you?
Oh, of course I will. Anything.
Thank you. Thank you, dear. Just imagine. Saint Aline and that woman side by side.
Oh, it's Aline you're considering, not me. It's all Aline with you. Aline, Aline, Aline.
Paula, is Papa angry?
Yes. Yes, Aline. I drive him distracted sometimes. There. I confess it.
Oh, do you? Oh, why do you?
Because I'm jealous.
Jealous?
Yes, jealous of you. What do you think of that?
Why, I knew it. I've seen it. It hurts me dreadfully. What do you wish me to do, Paula? Go away?
Leave us? Look here. You could cure me of my jealousy very easily. Why don't you like me?
What do you mean by like you? I don't understand.
Love me.
Love is not a feeling that is under one's control. I shall alter as time goes on, perhaps.
Aline, why don't you try to look on me as your second mother? Of course, there are not many years' difference between you and me, but I'm ever so much older than you in experience. And I believe if you put your arms around me just once, I should run upstairs and have a good cry. There. I've talked to you as I've never talked to a woman in my life. But you seem to fear me. Don't. Kiss me.
Oh, I can't. I can't.
How dare you treat me like this? What do you mean by it? What do you mean?
Mr. Cayley Drummond, ma'am.
Oh, good morning.
Oh, well, Cayley.
How are you, Paula? Hello, Aline. I saw you in the distance an hour ago in the gorse near Stapleton's.
I didn't see you, Mr. Drummond.
My dear Aline, it's my experience that no charming young lady of 19 ever does see a man of 45, eh?
Paula, Papa wishes me to drive down to the village with you this morning. Do you care to take me?
Well, by all means. And tell Watts to balance the cart for three.
Very good, ma'am.
Excuse me, Mr. Drummond?
Yes, of course. Well, Paula, how's Albright?
Very well, when Aline's about the house.
And you? I needn't ask.
Oh, a dog's life, mine, dear Cayley, a dog's life.
Eh?
Well, doesn't that define a happy marriage? I'm sleek, well-kept, well-fed, never without a bone to gnaw and flesh straw to lie upon.
Well, I heartily congratulate you on your kennel. The view from the terrace here is superb.
Yes. Yes, I can see London.
London? Not quite so far, surely.
I can. Also the Mediterranean on a fine day.
Hmm.
Cayley. Do you remember those jolly little times we had on board Peter Jarman's yacht?
Yeah.
Oh, good gracious. What am I talking about?
Oh, hello, Aubrey.
Hello, Kelly. My dear old chap, how are you? Well, has Paula asked you?
No, not yet.
We want you to come to us now that you're leaving Mrs. Cotillion at once, today. Stay a month, as long as you please, eh, Paula?
Yes, as long as you can possibly endure it. Do, Kelly.
Delighted. Charming of you to have me.
Oh, my dear man, you're a blessing. Something to do. Something to do.
Well, Aubrey?
Well, Cayley?
How are you two getting on?
My position doesn't grow less difficult. I told you when I met you last week of this feverish, jealous attachment of Paula's for Aline.
Yes, I hardly know why, but I came to the conclusion that you don't consider it an altogether fortunate attachment.
Aline doesn't respond to it.
Well, these are early days. Aline will warm towards your wife by and by, you know.
But there's the question, Cayley.
What question?
The question which positively distracts me. Aline is so different from most women, and I ask myself, am I doing right in exposing her to the influence of Paula's light, careless nature.
My dear Aubrey, aren't you making a mistake?
Very likely.
Let her go out into society, see the world, treat her like an ordinary flesh and blood young woman.
If Aline goes out among men and women, how can she escape from learning sooner or later the history of Paula's old life?
Well, if your daughter lives, she can't escape what you're afraid of. And when she does hear the story, surely it would be better that she should have some knowledge of the world to help her to understand it, eh?
Oh, you're right, Kayleigh. I'm helpless.
How?
What means have I now of placing my daughter in the world that I've left?
Oh, some friends, some woman friends.
I have none. They're gone.
Oh, you're wrong there. I know one.
Mrs. Cortellian, sir.
Mrs. Cortellian. Very well, Willis. What on earth is the meaning of this, Kayleigh?
While I've been our old friend's guest, Aubrey, we've very naturally talked a good deal about you and yours.
Indeed, have you?
Yes, and Alice Cortellian has arrived at the conclusion that it would have been far kinder if she called on Mrs. Tanqueray long ago. I believe she's come over this morning to ask for Aline's companionship.
Oh, I see. Quite a friendly little conspiracy, my dear Kayleigh.
Conspiracy? Oh, no, no, not at all, I assure you. No, oh, no, no, no.
Papa, here's Mrs. Cortellian.
Well, Aubrey, how are you?
Mrs. Cortellian.
I've just been telling this girl of yours that I knew her when she was a sad-faced, pale baby. How is Mrs. Tanqueray? I've been a bad neighbor, and I'm here to beg forgiveness. Is she indoors?
She's upstairs putting on a hat, I believe.
We used to be very frank with each other, Aubrey. I suppose the old footing is no longer possible, eh?
Well, if so, I'm not entirely to blame, Mrs. Cortellian.
Yes, I'll be there.
Here's my wife now. Paula, dear, Mrs. Cortellian has called to see you.
Mrs. What name, Aubrey?
Mrs. Cortellian.
Cortellian? Cortellian.
Oh, you know, we are neighbors, Mrs. Tanqueray.
Neighbors? Are we really? Won't you sit down? Neighbors. That's most interesting.
Very near neighbors. You can see my roof from your windows.
Yes, I fancy I have observed a roof. But you've been away from home. You've only just returned.
I? What makes you think that?
Because it's 2 months since we came to Hyacombe, and I don't remember you having called before.
No, no, no. I've not been away from home, and it is to explain my neglect that I'm here rather unceremoniously this morning.
Oh, to explain. Quite so.
Mrs. Tanqueray, I'm going to Paris tomorrow for a week or so. Well, don't gasp, both of you. But if Aline is willing, and you've made no other arrangements for her, will you let her come with me to Paris and afterwards remain with me in town during the season?
Oh,
what do you say?
Well, it's very kind of you, Mrs. Cortellian. Paula, dear.
One moment. Mrs. Cortellian, yes. You propose that Aline leave Hyacombe almost at once and remain with you some months?
Oh, it would be a mercy to me. Come, Mrs. Tanqueray, won't you spare her?
Aline, let us hear your voice in the matter.
Oh, I should like to go with Mrs. Cortellian.
Oh.
That is, if...
What?
Papa.
Oh, of course, I forgot. My dear Aubrey, it rests with you, naturally, whether I am to lose Aline.
Lose Aline? There's no question of losing Aline. You would see Aline in town constantly when she returned from Paris. Isn't that so, Mrs. Cortellian?
Oh, certainly.
And Aline, dear, you are quite certain you would like to see what the world is like outside?
If you're willing, Papa, I'm quite certain.
Then I am willing.
That decides it. When do you want her?
Well, we go to town this afternoon at 5:00. There's barely time for her to make her preparations.
I'll see that she's ready.
I've got a great deal to scramble through at home, too, as you may guess. So, if you'll excuse me, I'll say au revoir. Goodbye.
Aubrey, Mrs. Cortellian is leaving.
Goodbye, Mrs. Cortellian.
Goodbye, Mrs. Tanqueray.
Goodbye.
Come along with me, Kate.
Yes, yes, yes. Goodbye, Paula.
You have altered your mind about going out, Paula.
Yes. Please ring the bell.
You're angry about Mrs. Cortellian and Aline. Let me try to explain my reasons.
I've never felt like this but once in my life. Be careful what you say to me.
Did you ring, Mom?
Yes. Is Watts at the door with the cart, Willis?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell him to drive down to the post office directly with this letter.
Yes, ma'am.
With that?
Yes. My letter to Lady Orrid.
Surely you don't wish me to countermand any order of yours to a servant. Call the girl back. Take the letter from her.
I haven't the slightest intention of doing so.
I must, then.
You dare, Paula. Insult me again and I'll go straight out of this house.
Insult you?
What else is it? What do you mean by taking Aline from me?
Listen.
You listen to me. And how do you take her? You pack her off in the care of a woman who's deliberately held aloof from me, who's thrown mud at me.
Paula, dear, hear
me. Oh, of course. Of course, I can't be as useful to your daughter as such people. And so I'm to be given the go-by for any friends of yours who turn up and choose to patronize us. Very well. As you take Aline from me, you justify my looking for companions where I can readily find them.
Is this your reason for sending that letter to Lady Orrin?
It is.
And could you, after all, go back to associates of that order? It's not possible.
Not after the refining influence of these intensely respectable surroundings. We'll see.
Paula.
We'll see.
Act 3, some days later. The drawing room at Hyacombe. The two large French windows, sheltered by a veranda leading into a moonlit garden, are open. On a divan near the rear wall lies Sir George Orrid asleep. Lady Orrid is sitting on the ottoman, her eyes closed. Paula, looking pale, worn, and thoroughly unhappy, is sitting at a table nearby.
Well, I never. I must have dropped off. Just fancy. Where are the men?
Outside smoking, except George. He's snoring there on the divan.
Paula, love, I fancied you and Aubrey were a little more friendly at dinner tonight. You haven't made it up, have you?
We? Oh, no. No, we speak before others, that's all.
And how long do you intend to carry on this game, dear?
I really can't tell.
When did this sad state of affairs between you and Aubrey actually begin?
A fortnight and 3 days ago. I haven't calculated the minutes.
A day or two before Dodo and I turned up.
Yes, yes. We left off speaking to each other the morning I wrote asking you to visit us.
Lucky for you, I was able to pop down, wasn't it, dear?
Most fortunate.
A serious split with your husband without a pal on the premises would be most unpleasant.
This place must be horribly doleful for you and George just now.
Oh, we're quite happy. Thank you, dear. Doesn't matter where we are.
Well, why didn't you leave me to my own difficulties?
Lady Orrid, whenever you feel inclined for a game of billiards, I'm at your service.
Oh, charmed, I'm sure. I really thought you'd forgotten poor little me. I'll call George.
Oh, no. Don't wake him. He's tired.
Oh, I must. He looks so plain. Dodo. Dodo.
Hello.
Dodo, dear, you were snoring.
Oh, I say, you could have told me that by and by.
You want a cigar, George? Come to the billiard room. Kayleigh, bring Paula.
Yes, all right, we'll be down in a moment.
Billiard room? How goes the time? 9 o'clock. Hello, hello, hello. Whiskey and soda time. Excuse me, are you coming, Kayleigh?
Yes, I'll follow you later.
Don't moon about after me, Kayleigh. Follow the others.
Thanks, I have a present day. That's a pretty tune.
I wish you wouldn't stare at me so.
Was I staring? I'm sorry. Lovely night, isn't it? Now, it would have done you good to have walked in the garden with us after dinner and made merry. Why didn't you?
You know why.
Ah. You're thinking of the difference between you and Aubrey, eh?
Yes. Yes, I am thinking of it.
Oh, so am I. How long has it been?
Getting on for 3 weeks.
God bless me, it must be. And this would have been such a fine night to have healed it. Moonlight, the stars, the scent of flowers.
Kayleigh, my dear man, you talk exactly like a very romantic old lady.
Accept the suggestion. An old woman, eh?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, why not? I have every qualification. Well, almost. And I confess it would have given me a throb of grandmotherly satisfaction if I could have seen you and Aubrey at peace before I take my leave tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Kayleigh?
I must.
Oh, I know. This house is becoming unendurable.
You're very kind, but you've got the Orrids.
The Orrids. I hate the Orrids. I lie awake at night hating them.
Oh, I'm sorry. I understood their visit is in some degree owing to your suggestion.
Good heavens, that doesn't make me like them any better, does it? Somehow or another, I've outgrown these people. The woman sickens me.
Oh, my dear Paula, why on earth don't you say all this to Aubrey?
Oh, Kayleigh, I've been such an utter fool.
Well, just mention it to Aubrey.
Oh, no, you don't understand. What do you think I've done?
Done? Since you've invited the Orrids?
Yes, I must tell you.
Perhaps you'd better not.
Look here. I've intercepted some letters from Mrs. Cortellian and Aline to Aubrey. Here are the accursed things. From Paris. Two from the Cortellian woman and the other from Aline.
Oh. This accounts for Aubrey not hearing from Paris lately, eh?
Of course it does. In all my life, this is the most caddish thing I've ever done. But how am I to get rid of these letters? That's what I want to know. How am I to get rid of them?
Well, if I were you, I should take Aubrey aside and put them into his hands as soon as possible.
What? And tell him to his face that I've... Oh, no. No, thank you. I suppose you wouldn't like to do it for me.
No, I wouldn't touch him.
And you call yourself my friend?
No, I don't.
Well, perhaps I'll tie them together and give them to his men in the morning.
That won't avoid an explanation. Let me send him to you now. May I?
Oh, no. I couldn't stand it, Kelly. I haven't slept for nights, no.
You'll sleep well enough when you deliver those letters. I'll go. Go and get him now.
Oh, no, Kelly, no, please. What shall I do? What shall I do?
What is it, Paula?
Oh, Aubrey, here, these letters. They're many days old. I stole them. I supposed to make you anxious and unhappy.
Paula, dear, it doesn't matter.
Why do you take it like this?
What did you expect?
Well, I suppose silent reproaches are the severest.
Paula, surely it's all over now.
All over? Has my stepdaughter returned then? When did she arrive? I haven't heard of it.
You can be very cruel. Why should we grudge Aline the little pleasure she's likely to find in Paris and in London?
I'd grudge her nothing. But that woman...
It must be that woman or another. You know that we, at present, are unable to give Aline the opportunity of...
Of mixing with respectable people. Yes, I know.
The opportunity of gaining friends, experience, ordinary knowledge of the world.
I believe you've sent Aline away, not for the reasons you give, but because you don't consider me a decent companion for her. Come. Isn't that the truth? Be honest, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, you...
Sit down. Sit down.
Don't touch me.
Paula.
Go away. Go away. Look here, Aubrey. Get rid of these people, Mabel and her husband, as soon as possible. I've done with them. And then... when the time comes for Aline to leave Mrs. Cortellian, give me another chance with her. No. No, don't. Don't touch me now. Please don't. Just give me another chance with Aline.
Mrs. Cortellian, sir, with Miss Aline.
Papa! Oh, Papa, dear, is all well at home?
Aline, dear.
We are shockingly anxious.
Yes, all's well. I wrote to Aline a week ago.
Without alluding to the subject I'd written to you about.
Why, I...
And since then, we've both written you, and you've been absolutely silent. Oh, it's too bad, Aubrey.
Well, it isn't altogether my fault. Here are the letters.
Why, they're unopened.
An accident delayed their reaching me till this evening. I'm afraid this has upset you very much.
Upset me? Oh, child, run away and take your things off. She doesn't look as if she journeyed from Paris today.
I've never seen her with such a colour.
Papa, Mrs. Cortellian has been so very, very kind to me, but I've come home.
Aline returns to us, then?
Yes.
Alice, you're in some trouble.
Well, yes, I am in trouble. You remember pretty little Mrs. Brereton, who was once Caroline Ardale?
Yes, quite well.
Well, she's a widow now. Caroline's a dear chum of mine. We saw a lot of her in Paris. She formed a great liking for Aline.
I'm very, very glad.
Yes, it's nice for her to meet her mother's friends. You remember that young Hugh Ardale the papers were full of some time ago?
Mm-hmm.
He's Caroline Breton's brother, you know.
No, I didn't know. What did he do? I forget.
Oh, he checked one of those horrid mutinies at some faraway station in India.
Oh.
Just marched down with a few of his men and held the place till he was relieved. They gave him a VC for it.
And he's Mrs. Brereton's brother?
Yes. He's with Mrs. Brereton, or was rather, in Paris. He's home, invalided. Oh, good gracious, Aubrey, can't you guess what has occurred? Young Ardale and Aline.
An attachment?
Yes, Aubrey, yes. Well, I suppose I've got myself into sad disgrace. But really, I didn't foresee anything of this kind. Of course, it's worried me terribly.
I don't know whether this is the worst or the best luck. How will my wife regard it?
Oh.
Is Captain Ardale a good fellow?
Well, if I had a marriageable daughter of my own and Captain Ardale proposed for her, I should thank heaven.
You believe so thoroughly in him?
Look here. You've got to see me down the lane, so come over to my house for a moment and shake hands with you.
What, is he here?
He came through with us to present himself formally tomorrow. Make my apologies to Mrs. Tankery, please.
Aline.
Yes, Papa?
Aline, I'm going to see Mrs. Cortellian home. Tell Paula where I am. Explain, dear.
Oh, yes, Father. Father.
Yes, dear.
You're angry with me?
Angry? No, dear.
Perhaps I ought not to have gone away.
You're quite happy?
Oh, yes.
Then, as you are quite happy, there is something I particularly want you to do for me, Aline.
What is that?
Be very gentle with Paula. Will you?
Very well, Father.
I'll be back soon, my dear.
Aileen.
Hugh.
Aileen, dear.
What's the matter?
Hush, nothing. It's only fun. I found out that Mrs. Cortellian's meadow runs up to your father's plantation here. And I've come through the gap in the hedge.
Oh, Hugh.
Oh, don't look like that. Upon my word, I meant just to peep at your home and go back. But I saw figures moving about here and came nearer, hoping to get a glimpse of you. Was that your father?
Yes, but you must go away, Hugh. It's not right for you to be here like this.
But it's only fun, I tell you. Oh, take everything so seriously. Do wish me good night.
We said good night.
In the hall over at the Warren before Mrs. Cortellian and a manservant.
Good night, Hugh.
Well, I've offended you now, I suppose.
Yes.
Forgive me. Come into the garden. Just for 5 minutes.
Oh, no, no, no. There's somebody coming into this room. Do you wish to be seen here?
Very well. I shall wait behind the yew tree. Oh, you must say good night to me. Please come.
Aileen. Aileen.
You're surprised to see me, Paula, of course.
Why are you here? Why aren't you with your friends?
I've come home, if you'll have me. We left Paris this morning. Mrs. Cortellian brought me back. She was here a minute or two ago. Papa's just gone over with her to the Warren. He asked me to tell you.
And when do you go to London?
I don't think I go to London after all.
You've quarreled with Mrs. Cortellian?
No, 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 not that, but Paula. Paula, kiss me.
Aileen. What's come over you?
I want to behave differently to you in the future. Is it too late?
Too late? Oh.
Oh, Paula, dear, don't cry.
I'm a little shaky. I haven't been sleeping, but it's all right. Talk to me.
Paula, there's something I want to tell you.
Is there?
Paula, in our house in Paris, there was a Mrs. Brereton. She used to be a friend of my mother's.
Oh. Oh, is she the lady who's going to take you up in place of Mrs. Cortellian?
No, no. Her brother is staying with her, or was staying with her. Her brother...
Well?
Paula, I...
Aileen, you're not in love. Oh, Aileen, in love. Oh, and this is why you've come home.
And Paula, Hugh's done something that makes me very angry.
Oh.
With us from Paris today to see Papa. He's staying with Mrs. Cortellian.
Yes, yes, well, what?
Well, he's found his way by the Warren Meadow up to this house. He's waiting outside now to bid me good night. He's out there.
In the garden?
Yes. What shall I do?
But bring him in to see me.
Oh, no,
oh,
no.
Oh, but I'm dying to know him. Yes, you must call him, call him. I shall meet him before Aubrey does.
Hugh!
Oh, I'm so glad, Aline, I'm so glad.
Paula, this is Captain Ardale, Mrs. Tankery.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Aileen.
Yes?
Mr. Ardale and I have met in London. Captain Ardale now?
Yes.
In London?
They say the world is very small, don't they?
Yes.
Aileen, dear, I want to have a talk about you to Mr. Captain Ardale alone. Please go now and come back in a little while.
Yes, Paula.
Quick, you. Mr. Tankery has only gone down to the Warren with Mrs. Cortellian. What's to be done?
Done?
Yes, done, done. Something must be done.
I understood that Mr. Tankery had married a Mrs.
Jarman?
Yes.
I'd been going by that name. You didn't follow my doings after you and I separated.
No.
No.
I went out to India.
Oh, well, no matter. What's to be done now?
Your husband doesn't know, does he?
That you and I were,
Yes.
No.
But...
No, he knows about the others, though.
But not about me.
No. No, not about you. You and Aubrey's daughter.
Oh. Hush, control yourself.
Eileen kissed me tonight. I'd won her over. And I'd had such a fight to make her love me. And now just as she's beginning to, you come here and bring this on us.
The chances are 100 to 1 against anyone ever turning up who knew us when we were together. What are we upsetting ourselves like this for, when we've simply got to hold our tongue?
Aubrey must be told.
What? That I lose Eileen?
You've got to lose her.
I won't lose her. I can't.
Oh, I don't ask you to tell him. That's my job.
If you dare, mind, if you dare.
And what would you do?
I'd shoot myself. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Paula. Paula, dear. Paula, dear. Have you seen Eileen?
Yes. Yes, I found her here when I came down.
She's told you?
Yes, Aubrey, she's told
me. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Not that somebody should fall in love with Eileen or that Eileen herself should fall in love. It was bound to happen, I suppose, sooner or later. But this young fellow, you know his history?
History?
You remember the papers were full of his name a few months ago.
Oh, yes.
I should have met him tonight, but he'd gone out when I got over to the Warren. Paula, dear, tell me how you look upon this business.
Yes, I will. I must tell you. To begin with, I've seen Captain Ardell.
Seen him?
While you were out, he came up here through our grounds to try to get a word with Eileen. I made her fetch him in and present him to me.
What is your impression of him?
Aubrey, do you recollect my bringing you a letter? A letter giving you an account of myself to the Albany late one night? The night before we were married.
A letter?
Yes, you burnt it, don't you remember?
Oh, yes, yes.
His name was in that letter.
I don't understand.
Captain Ardell and I once kept house together. Oh, why don't you strike me? Why don't you strike me?
What did you and this man say to each other just now?
I hardly know.
Think.
Well, the end of it all was that I told him I must tell you of what happened. He didn't want me to do that. I declared I would. He dared me to.
Where was my daughter while this went on?
I sent her out of the room. That's all right.
Yes, yes, yes.
Who's that?
Papa.
What do you want, Ellie?
Why, I heard from Willis that you'd come in. I only wanted to wish you good night.
Oh.
What's the matter? Why did Paula run away? Oh, of course. Paula's told you about Captain Ardell.
Well?
Have you and he met?
No.
Oh, you're angry with me. So was I. But tomorrow, when he calls and expresses his regrets and...
Eileen.
Yes, Papa?
Eileen, I can't let you see this man again.
What's happened, Papa? What is it?
Something has come to my knowledge in relation to Captain Ardell, which puts any further acquaintanceship between you two out of the question.
Any further acquaintanceship out of the question?
Yes.
But aren't you going to give me some explanation? Oh, you can't take this position towards me, towards Captain Ardell, without offering me the fullest explanation.
You must trust me, Eileen. You must try to understand the depth of my love for you and the agony it gives me to hurt you. You must trust me.
I will, Father, but you must trust me a little, too. When he presents himself here tomorrow, of course you will see him and let him defend himself.
Captain Ardell will not be here tomorrow.
You've stopped his coming here?
Indirectly, yes.
Oh, why, you've heard something against him from Paula.
From Paula?
She knows him.
She has told you so?
When I introduced Captain Ardell to her, she said she'd met him in London. Of course, it's Paula who's done this.
Paula?
It must be Paula. It can't be anybody else.
You'll please keep Paula out of the question. Finally, Eileen, understand me. I've made up my mind.
But wait, listen, Father. I've made up my mind also.
I recognize your mother in you now.
You need not speak against my mother because you're angry with me.
I hardly know what I'm saying to you. In the morning, Eileen. In the morning.
It was Paula.
Well?
Paula, have you been out on the veranda all the while listening?
No.
You have overheard us. I see you have. And it's you who've been speaking to my father against Captain Ardale, isn't it? Paula, why don't you own it or deny it?
I don't mind owning it. Why should I?
Oh, you seem to have been very, very eager to tell your tale.
No. I wasn't eager, Aileen. I'd have given everything in the world not to have had to do it.
So it was you. You knew Captain Ardale in London.
What do you mean by that?
You know what I mean. I've always known what you were. It's in your face.
It's a lie. It's a lie. It's all a lie. You will beg my father to put on your knees.
Oh,
on your knees.
Let me go.
It's a lie, I tell you. I swear I'm a good woman. How dare you say that there's anything else? It's a lie, I tell you. It's a lie.
Let me go.
It's a
lie. Paul, what is this? What is this?
Nothing. It's all my fault. Father, I never wished to see Captain Ardale again.
Aubrey? She guesses.
Guesses.
About me and Ardale.
About you and Ardale?
Yes. She says she's always known my character from the beginning. That's why she kept me at a distance. She's always seen through me.
Paula, you must have said something, admitted something.
I don't think so. No, it's in my face.
What?
Yes, she told me so, and she's right. Anybody can see it. Anybody can find it out. You said much the same to me tonight.
If she has got this idea into her head, we must drive it out, that's all. We must take steps to... What should we do? What can we do?
Well, of course, she and I can't live under the same roof any longer. And you know, she kissed me tonight of her own accord.
I asked her to alter toward you.
Oh. So that was it.
Oh, I'm sorry I sent her away.
Oh, it was my fault. I made it necessary.
You and I, Paula, we'll get out of this place. Oh, what a fool I was to come here again.
You'll never forget this, you know, Aubrey.
This?
Tonight and everything that's led up to it. Our coming here, Aileen, our quarrels, Mrs. Cotillion, the Oreads. Captain Ardale. Oh, what an everlasting nightmare for you.
Oh, we can forget it if we choose.
Yes, that was always your cry. But how can one forget it? You must see that now. Do what we will, go where we will. You'll be constantly reminded of what I was.
You're frightened tonight, Paula. Meeting this man has frightened you. But that sort of thing isn't likely to recur. The world isn't quite so small as all that.
Isn't it? The only great distances it contains are those we carry within ourselves. The distances that separate husbands and wives, for instance. And so it'll be with us. You'll do your best, I know that. But circumstances will be too strong for you in the end. Mark my words.
Paula.
No, of course. I'm pretty now. And a pretty woman, whatever else she may be, is always endurable. But someday, under a queer, fantastic light at night, you'll see me at last with other people's eyes. You'll see me just as your daughter does now. A worn-out creature, a ghost, a caricature. And what shall I be able to say to you then? And this is the future you talk about. Oh, go over it. No.
Oh, Paula.
No. And I wanted so much to sleep tonight. Oh, that's Kaylee back from the Warren. He doesn't know evidently, and I can't see him. I can't. Good night, Aubrey.
Good night.
Good night. Beloved.
Ah, there you are, Aubrey, old chap.
Kaylee.
I went down to the Warren, half to you.
Yes?
Missed you. Well, I've been gossiping with Mrs. Cortellian. I've heard the news.
What have you heard?
What have I heard? Why, Aileen and young Ardale.
You've not met Captain Ardale?
No, it's rather strange. He's not at the Warren
tonight.
No? He left the house half an hour ago to stroll about the lanes. Just now, a note came from him, simply telling Alice that she'd receive a letter from him tomorrow.
Oh.
Right. What's the matter, Aubrey? There's nothing very wrong, is there?
Kelly, you urge me to send her away.
Aileen, yes, but by all accounts, this is quite an eligible young fellow.
Kelly, they met here tonight. He and Paula, what? They are not strangers to each other.
Aubrey!
Father!
Aileen!
Father, go to Paula, quickly!
Yes,
Father, go!
What's happened, Aileen?
I went to her room to tell her I was sorry for something I'd said to her. And I was sorry. I heard the fall. I've seen her. Oh, it's horrible.
You mean she's...
killed herself. Yes. So everybody will say. But I know I helped to kill her. Oh, if I'd only been merciful.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to The Second Mrs. Tanqueray by Sir Arthur Wing Pinero. The play was adapted for radio by Harry McFadden, and the music was conducted by Joseph Hunty. The cast today was as follows: Florence Malone as Paula Tanqueray, Horace Braham as Aubrey Tanqueray, Aline Joan Warburton, Kaylee Drummel Eustace Wyatt, Mrs. Cotellian Lillian Tong, Captain Hugh Ardale Leslie Barry, Gordon Jane M.D. Alfred Shirley, Frank Misquith, M.P. Harry Neville, Sir George Orrid Stanley Harrison, Lady Orrid Cherry Hardy, Morse J.P. Wilson, Willis Florence Pendleton, and the footman Jerome Lesser. The Great Plays series is a public service feature of the National Broadcasting Company, a drama guide giving complete background material for the great plays by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 25 cents. Send coin or money orders to Columbia University Press in care of Great Plays, Columbia University Press, New York City. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining great plays of the series. Next week, at this same hour, Secret Service by William Gillette will be presented. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.